100th anniversary of the watch shop and the clock shop, which was run in a town called Harlem, where a young lady named Corey, her sister Betsy, lived with their father. And at this celebration, at this watch shop, friends came by, one man that they referred to as Pickwick. They were waiting for their brother, their older brother Willem, to show up. And this 100th celebration of this business was happening when Willem did show up with a man that he had brought, who was recently mistreated and fled from Germany. This happened in the Netherlands. The place has become known as the hiding place, this watch shop, and there's a museum to it to this day that's there. Corrie ten Boom was the young lady. When the Jewish man showed up with their brother Willem, he showed up and he said in a panic, this man was abused because he is Jewish in Germany, and he fled here to escape that. Well, the father, their father, Betsy, Corrie, and Willem's father, came out and showed hospitality to the man, gave him some coffee, and they welcomed him. When they had greeted him, then the other guests were discussing what had happened. And they decided as a group at this party that Germany really is a civilized company. It's a civilized country. And that these hooligans that had done this thing will soon stop and everything will be put back in order. Well, it didn't happen that way, as you know. Corrie and Betsy and their father joined an effort to save as many Jews as they could. And what happened was their house that became known by the title of the book as the hiding place was one stop where certain people that were resisting the advance of these Nazis, their house was transformed. And so false walls were built where behind these walls, where it looked like the original wall of these old buildings, were built places where Jews could hide. People could be brought in. Under their kitchen table was a compartment where the floor looked just like it had always looked, and yet they could open it, and many people could fit in this compartment under their kitchen floor. What happened then, Corrie, Betsy, and that story, you can read about it in The Hiding Place, Hannah Carmichael is doing a report on Corrie ten Boom, and she found out that Corrie ten Boom had spoken here at Windsor maybe almost 40 years ago. So that's a neat thing. Well, The Hiding Place is an example of something that happened then where Corrie and her sister and her family got to step out in faith. Something came to them. A crisis came to them. And they knew that this was happening to Jewish people, and it was wrong before God. They had an opportunity at that point to step out in faith and do something that was risky to themselves. It was a risk to their family and their business. And they knew that God wanted them to do this. They didn't know all the answers of how things would play out. But they had an opportunity to step out in faith, to act in faith on what they knew God wanted them to do. As I said, they didn't know the outcome. What happened was God used them in incredible ways, and I would commend to you that book, The Hiding Place. In our passage today, there's a hiding place. It was in the house of a prostitute in a terribly sinful city called Jericho. The woman's name was Rahab. And what we see in this passage is that there were two changes that happened by faith. One happened to this woman, Rahab, and the other happened within these two spies that came to visit her when they were spying out the land. And what we see is there was a camp of God's people on the far side of the Jordan River across from Jericho. So Jericho was there on the western side, but on the eastern side, many more than a million people were encamped. And on this flat plain, where from Jericho you can see down this path to the Jordan River, and then beyond it would have been the camp of Israel. Word had been getting out about them. And what we see is that at the beginning of our passage, the beginning of our chapter, and then at the end of our chapter, first Joshua sends out these two spies. At the end, the last few verses, they return to him. And then there's a big section right after the beginning and right before the end where these spies are traveling. They're on their mission and then they're returning from the mission. But at the very center of this passage is a testimony from this woman called Rahab the prostitute. Now, faith is when we act on something. Faith is trusting something. And faith is something that we do that trusts in something because as Christians, we know that God has shown us. He has told us certain things. He has revealed himself in certain ways. We today are in a community that is growing. We are in a culture where things are changing. More people moving into the neighborhood. And God has given us work to do. We don't see the hostility that they were seeing in the Netherlands when the Nazis were on the rise and literally people being beaten and killed because of their ethnic identity. We don't see that on the scale that was happening there with the Nazis during that time when it was rising up with World War II. But we are called to do something in this world as Christians. We as Windsor Baptist Church are called to walk by faith and do some work that God has given us to do. Specifically, God has given us the work of going into this world, proclaiming his gospel, the good news about the things that he has done, and making disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But how? How do we go about doing this? And what if there are obstacles in the way? What will we do? What will we do when people oppose us? What will we do when some of your workplaces, you've had what's called sensitivity training? And from what I've heard, you're told to basically not talk about certain things because certain things might offend other people. And a big part of that category is in line with the Christian worldview, which by many companies in a politically motivated setting, those are expected to be excluded from conversation at the workplace. Well, if Jesus says to proclaim the good news about who he is, what he has done, and an employer says don't, well, how do you go about doing what Jesus has called us to do? Or maybe you have just a general sense that people don't want to hear it. You know, people don't want to hear about what we as Christians believe. What do you do with that sense of maybe I'll offend them, maybe I'll upset them if I talk to them about my faith? Well, something changed here with Rahab and something changed with these two spies. And I want us to make a study of this. I want us to pay attention to what happened with them because they both stepped out in faith and things changed for both of them. The mission for us hasn't changed. What happened with them, the mission then by Joshua, who was commissioned, and we heard about this last week, that they were to go in and possess the land. And God didn't say that he would give it to them. He said that he already had given it to them. So Joshua takes two spies, and I have to think that he left the other 10 out because the last time that spies went into this land to check it out, Joshua was one of the two with Caleb who came back and gave a good report. I think that somehow, this is just me speculating, I think that Joshua was like, you know what, I just need some guys that trust God and I just need to send two. That'll be enough this time. Because 40 years earlier, it didn't work out so well because the 10 saw the big walls and the 10 saw the big soldiers. And they said, we feel small and we're going to give a bad report. And they gave a bad report and it spread through the people. This time, Joshua sends out two on a mission. What happens here is we see that God is calling his people to take steps of obedience and acts of faith. Joshua sends out two spies. God had said to Joshua to be strong and courageous, to go get this land that he had given them. But they had to go. They had to do it. And they didn't presume. So Joshua, as a good commander, he says, you know what, we need to do a little reconnaissance. We need to figure out what we're looking at. We need to go in and figure out where we're going. So he sends the two. He didn't presume on how God would give them the land. He did his best. He took responsibility and he sent two spies to go. He sends the two spies in and they get into the city of Jericho. He says, I want you to spy out this land. See what's there, especially Jericho. And so they go. They get into the city. And these things that happen in this chapter seem to happen within a few hours in one night. They think that they get in unspotted and they go and they lodge in the house of a prostitute named Rahab. The spies are there, two men, and they think that they perhaps got in clean. But Rahab seems to know that that's not the case because she takes action right away and she hides them. She says, you know what? Follow me up here. They go up on the roof. She has stalks of flax and she hides them. I don't really know what flax is. I know that for the last few years it's been in my smoothies and in our pancakes. But there were stalks of flax and she hides them up on the roof. Well, the king knew. Apparently the king had people spotting outsiders that were coming into the city. They knew that Israel was right on the other side of the Jordan. And the king and the people of Jericho were suspicious and they were on guard. So these two men walk in and they go into the house of the prostitute Rahab. Well, someone that had spotted them takes word to the king. So the king sends men to the house. You get the impression that they're watching this very closely. Well, they show up. The king's men show up. And when they get there to the prostitute's house, she's ready for them. The men are hidden. She shows up at the door and says, oh, I didn't know where they came from. But they left. And she kind of creates urgency. It's interesting how she says it. She says, I didn't know where they came from, but she says they did come here. I didn't know where they were from. But when the gates were about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I don't know where the men went, but if you chase them quickly, you'll overtake them. So she says this, and then it seems like she closes the door. Doesn't say anything about a door, but now they're gone, like, almost like she creates excitement for them that they're going to chase these guys down. And then she goes and she talks to the men. Now you can feel the tension here because she's going up. And this is what it says. She had brought them up on the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan. They're out, they're running, they have a posse, they're hunting them down. On the way to the Jordan, as far as the fords where you would cross the river. And the gate was shut, it says, here in verse 7. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, they're keeping the city tightly locked down. They're out. And what is happening? Well, there's tension here, and you can feel it in this narrative. They're out, the men are hiding, and Rahab the prostitute is there in her house with these two spies. You can feel this tension. What's going to happen? She could just yell. They're completely at her mercy. She just has to open the door. And I think that they know this. They're hiding there and there's this incredible tension. Everyone now knows that they are looked for. They are wanted men. And so she goes to them and what happens? Well, she protects them. She protects them. And you have to ask the question, why? Why would this woman protect these men? They're from another nation. They're different. They have a different language. They're here visiting. You know, they're actually spying because they're going to destroy this place. Why would she help these spies? Why did she take the risk? Well, it's an amazing thing. But what we see here first is that Rahab is already a believer. Rahab already knows about who Yahweh is, and she trusts in him. Listen to what she says. It says that she goes to them on the roof. This is what she says. She basically goes up to them and she says, there's a sort of tone of urgency. They're hiding. She goes to them. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof, and she said to them, listen, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you, because we have heard about how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with me in my father's house. And give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. You see, there's this tension. And now she goes to them. She says, listen, I know what's going on. And she acts in faith. She is already a believer. That's why she wants to help them. She knows that there is a God in heaven. And His name is Yahweh. She calls Him by that name. Where it says the Lord in all capital letters, it's that name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. It's the name that God reveals as His holy name. The God of Israel, the God who saved them. How did she know? How did this woman know these things? Well, word had spread. It came to her because of what she heard. She believed. She had faith because of what she had heard. You know, word spread because these people were slaves and God made a way to rescue them. He saved a people powerfully with a mighty hand through the Red Sea. He dried it up so that they could walk right across and they were saved. And she knew that. He is a God who saves powerfully. And He's the only God that's in heaven and on earth. And that's what she says. And then she mentions what they did to the Amorites on the other side of the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og. How this God, He judges and He saves. And you want to be on the right side with this God. So she hears these things. She knows that these things are happening. Well, as we look at this woman, we see some amazing things that she says. As soon as she heard it, as soon as we heard it, the whole city, she says, our hearts melted. There was no spirit left in any man because of you. What God did had brought dread. And these men are hearing this, and they're hearing for the first time sort of the feeling that there is inside the city. They're hearing that this is a city that is terrified because they know that we're coming. They know that there is something happening, and we know that your God is powerful and He is going before you and making these things happen. And the strength just drained out of the people of Jericho. It had that effect. The Lord, your God, she says, He is God in heaven He is in heaven above and on the earth beneath. And she refers to how they came from Egypt through the Red Sea. She refers to what happened to the Amorites. She is seeking life and salvation with them. And that, friends, is exactly what she finds. It was her faith based on what she had heard. How do people come to believe? How do people come to be saved? Well, Rahab is our example right here. It's God's grace, and it comes through faith. She believed. She trusted this God that saved Israel. She wanted to be saved with them. Faith, we're told, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The mighty works that God has done are made known. When the mighty works of God are made known, who He is and what He has done, that is what connects us to God. The knowledge of that, our trust in that, that is what faith is. It's hearing what God has done and trusting in Him. We are saved by grace through faith. Rahab is an incredible example. She's just so amazing. In the New Testament, she's referred to twice. Three times, actually. Once in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. But whenever she's referred to in the book of James and in the book of Hebrews, do you know what her name is, how she's referred to? She's referred to as Rahab the prostitute. Now, that wasn't the reality of her life after Jericho was destroyed. But it's interesting, and we should ask ourselves, why is she referred to as Rahab the prostitute? Why not as Rahab who was saved out of Jericho? Why not as Rahab, who was joined with Israel? She's referred to as Rahab the prostitute. Well, her faith led her to take a real risk. In the book of James, she's referred to as someone who she acted in her faith. She took a risk. She stepped out. It was the obedience of her faith that was proven. And in James, he refers to that as the proof of her being justified. In Hebrews, it says that by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what happened? Well, what happened was she came out and she was rescued with her family and she was joined into Israel. And when we see her listed, she is one of two Gentile women that are in the genealogy of Jesus. There's Rahab and there's Ruth. What happened was she came out and she married a man named Salmon. They had a son. His name was Boaz, who married a woman named Ruth. They had a son named Obed, whose son's name was Jesse, whose son's name was David, the king of Israel. And it was from that line, from this family, Rahab the prostitute's great descendant, that Jesus was born. What an incredible privilege that God gave to this woman, Rahab. And yet, she's referred to twice by this title in the New Testament, Rahab the prostitute. And we have to ask ourselves, why is she referred to as that? Well, I think it's this. I think that she is saved by God's grace through her faith, the faith that God gave her as His word and the knowledge of Him came to her. We who are saved by God's grace through faith. It says in Romans 3:28 that we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. It's not something that she did that earned her place. It was that the word of what God had done, of His mighty deeds, came to her, and somehow she trusted it, and she aligned herself with Him, and she was saved. We, friends, are saved by grace through faith. It's not something that we earned. Her title, I think, is a badge of the grace of God, that He saved a prostitute from a terribly sinful city called Jericho. He brought her in and He gave her a place of great honor among His people. Christians, you who are here this morning, how did you come to believe? How did you come to believe? It says that faith comes by hearing. Have you heard what God has done? Do you remember how you came to believe and trust in Christ? Do you remember hearing the great things that He has done? How Jesus came into this world to save sinners, how He lived a life of obedience, how He gave His life on a cross, and He died, and He laid down His life as a sacrifice to atone for your sins and to buy you back to God, to that He was buried and He was in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and then after that He came alive again, winning a victory over death. You know, when we look at who He is and what He has done, how Pastor proclaimed this morning to the children, that He was ascended and He went up to heaven, and now He is seated there at the right hand of God. This is the mighty act of God. This is something that He did for us. And when we believe and when we want to share the mighty deeds of God He has done, this is right at the heart of it. You see, Rahab is in the city of Jericho, and she is looking at what God has done, and she says, you know, if these things are true, then I ought to take this really seriously. And so with every one of us who has believed, because Jesus was raised from the dead, then all the things that are in the scripture, we come to grips with that to say, you know, God really did have a plan. And He had this plan so that He could buy us out of sin, out of the path that leads to death and eternal separation from God and punishment that we deserve. But if God did this, then we need to take it seriously. And we need to really align ourselves with Him, and we need to put our lives in His care like Rahab did. Friends, this is also what everyone around us needs to know. It is only the mighty works of God that He has accomplished through His Son that will save anyone. Rahab knew that there was destruction coming on her city, And we know that there is a day of judgment that is coming on everyone in this world. And it is only by knowing the mighty deeds of God and the grace of God that is extended to all in Christ to welcome us in that will save us from the wrath that is to come. Think about how you came to believe. This is what people need to know and come to grips with before that day of judgment. People need to think about it. When this city heard it, their hearts melted within them. She herself seems to have this tone of urgency, of panic, of how can I be saved? What must I do to be saved? If you're living opposed to God, if we know people that are living in opposition to God, what is on them? It is the wrath of God. People aren't neutral before God. You see, because of our sins, because of the sins of the people that we love, whether we think of them as good people or not, there is hostility between them and God. It is only in Christ that we are brought into a place of a friendly welcome with God. That conviction of sin is a good thing. And it led Rahab to seek life. What must I do to have eternal life? When our friends ask us this, we can tell them, you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn away from your sin. Trust in Him. Rahab was told, this is what you have to do. And she, you see that the faith of a believer in her, she had a heart for other people to be saved. I have a father and a mother. I have sisters and brothers. I want them to be saved too. That is the heart of someone who is changed by God's grace, who has real faith in Him. It's not just for ourselves. It's not a selfish thing. The faith of Rahab was a faith that empathized, that sympathized with other people around her. And she had the job now of bringing them in. You know, I can't imagine what that conversation was like. Mom and Dad, I know you don't like my house. I want you to come and stay with me. Well, how long, Rahab? Indefinitely. Trust me. Can't talk about it yet. Something really good. So she did, and they were saved. Rahab to us then is an example in her faith, how she acted in obedience. She took great risk. Why? Why would she take such a great risk? Why would we risk our reputation in our workplace, in our circles of friends, in our families where there are unbelievers? Because she knew God enough to fear Him more than the watchman for the king. She feared God and the mighty things that He had done and will do more than she feared what might happen if she got caught. The fear of man is a trap. The fear of God is the way in which we ought to live. It was her faith that led her to act in that way, and it is the same for us. So this badge of grace is sort of stuck with her. She became a prominent and a respected woman in Israel. And through all history, she will be. And yet, an amazing thing, she's called Rahab the prostitute, a woman that was saved by grace through faith. Friends, what is your history? What is your background? From what has God saved you? From what is God saving you? Rahab had a history. She had a shady past. And you know what? God's grace is greater. God's grace was greater for her, so that this woman of great dignity is referred to as Rahab the prostitute. And it doesn't decrease her dignity at all, because she's an object of God's grace. That's the way it is for every Christian. Were you a liar? Were you a thief? Were you filled with vanity or greed? That's what you were. But in Christ, you have been saved from that. And you don't even have to be embarrassed. I mean, you might regret it. And you might look back at it and say, you know, I wish I didn't do that. That's fine. Or I didn't like that. I didn't want to walk in that way. I wish I didn't. But here's the thing. What's in the past, by God's grace, is forgiven, and you've been washed clean from it. And that, what was, doesn't define you now if you are in Christ. If you are in Christ, He gives you a new life, and He cleanses you from that past. So we have Rahab, who acted in faith. And we have these spies, these two spies that come in. Now, we don't know what kind of courage they had, if they had some weapons, if they're up there under the flax thinking, they're onto us. We've got to get out of here. Be ready to fight. Not sure if we're going to make it out. God's going to give them the land, but we might not make it. We don't know. But we don't even know if they were strong and courageous or if they themselves were trembling. But we know what happened to them after Rahab comes up and she talks to them and says, listen, I know what's going on. I know what God did and I know what he's going to do. And there is no strength left in the people in this city. When she says that, look at what happens to these spies. Their faith swells. Their faith swells and they become strong in their faith. Now, Rahab knew the routine of the city, and she had a house by God's providence that was built into the wall, and it was probably stone, and the window probably wasn't big, but it was enough for them to fit through. And she said, listen, I know how things work. I sent them. They're going to be chasing you that way, okay? I want you to run into the hills that are this way, okay, on the east side. There's hills. You can go and hide there. Just hang out for 3 days, okay? Give it 3 days. And after 3 days, sneak your way back, okay? And she makes a plan with them, and they agree, and they come together with a plan. The pursuers, it says, searched all along the way, and they found nothing. And then the men come back, they work their way back to Joshua, and they cross the Jordan, and they return safely. But when they get back, look at what they say. They have strong confidence in Yahweh. Look at the last words of this passage. And they said to Joshua, truly, the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. What God had done and what God was doing became evident to them. And as far as we know from this passage, they didn't get to do a lot of sightseeing in Jericho. All we know is that they got into the city and they went to Rahab's house. It seems that the testimony from Rahab about what was going on was what gave them this strong confidence. Their confidence grew in God. God called Joshua and the people that were under his leadership to step out in faith. So Joshua sends these two spies. And when they come back, when they stepped out in faith, obeying God in what they knew God wanted them to do, what happened? Well, they didn't know what to expect. But when they got there, they saw God is already at work. God has already is doing things. God even has people in this city that believe in him. When God calls you, friends, as a Christian, as a person who believes in him, to do something, to step out in faith, you will probably not know all the details. You probably won't know exactly how it's going to play out. But if God called you to do something, I want us to think together this morning about our work in the Great Commission. That we are called to go and we are called to make disciples. Now, there might be some unique callings on our lives. God opens up specific doors, but look where we are. We're here in Chester County. We're here in the Village of Eagle. We've got this picnic, Neighbor Day on the 15th. Is that right? And there's going to be thousands of people right here on this street. And they're coming together. And we're the church in the village here. Okay? We get to represent Christ. We get to make friends with our neighbors and hand out whatever we're handing out. Hot dogs or water bottles or whatever it is. God, we know, wants us to go into this community and to make disciples. And we have, with this one event, an opportunity for ministry. What do? Well, we just show hospitality because we live here and the people in our neighborhood are going to come and we get to say, hey, yeah, I'm a part of Windsor Baptist Church. Here's a water bottle. Good to meet you. What's that on your shirt? Oh, you're an Eagles fan. We're Eagles fans. And some are not. And so you just have a friendly conversation. And you know what? You build a relationship with the neighbors. Why? Because God wants us to be people that are filled with joy and that love our neighbors. You might meet some believers. You might meet someone in this street party who already is a believer or maybe who has questions. like these men going into the city, they saw God is already at work. What you might find when you're out there is this person has questions, and all of a sudden they're asking you questions, and all of a sudden God has been at work before you even took the step of trying to meet someone. Pretty incredible. When God calls you to step out in faith, do it. Do it. You will only miss out by not. You will be blessed when you do. And I don't mean that everything's going to work out great. You know, Peter and John, when they were testifying about Jesus, they got arrested and they got beaten. And Peter gets busted out of prison, and then he goes back, and then he keeps talking. And then some other apostles get arrested, and they're like, we told you not to talk about him. And he said, well, you can judge for yourselves, but I'm working for God. So they beat him and the apostles, and then they released them. But it says this, they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. I mean, God put some kind of joy in them that they go out and they're like, you know what? Jesus is alive. And I don't care if I got beaten, because you know what? We were doing it for him. And there's something that's going to happen beyond this world. And we're on the right side. You might see major obstacles in the way. You might think, how in the world can I share my faith with my relative who is an atheist, with my coworker who is angry at God? You might not know. It might look like big walls around a city. See what you can do. See how you can have a conversation. See how you can bring the news about the mighty deeds of God in Christ in that setting. But when you step out in faith, when you take a step of obedience to do what you know God wants you to do, you often find that God is already at work, that God is making a way, that God is working in people's hearts and in their lives, that God is opening up doors of opportunity for his kingdom to advance, that you will find people that are a part of what God is doing in unexpected places. We have a friend who is, we went to college with her, and she is in Madrid, and she's an artist, and she works there, and God has opened up an opportunity for her recently to use her artistic abilities to help women that are being rescued out of sex slavery. And she just aligned with these people, and all of a sudden these people are already there in Madrid, in a part of the city where there's a strong Muslim presence, and there's sex slavery. That's just a terrible thing. And the trafficking of people, there are believers there, and she found out, you know what, they're there, and God is at work, and God is already doing something about this terrible thing. And then she had the opportunity to step out in faith, and right now has the opportunity to use what God has given her the ability to do to help with this ministry. It's an amazing thing. I remember when I was a missionary in the Philippines and we were working on a university campus, I would go out at nights and I would go on prayer walks. And when I did that, often I was discouraged because things just weren't happening. This campus was full of wealthy students in a country that is maybe 80-85% really, really poor. These were the upper 5% in this country where they had personal drivers as teenagers taking them to college campus. And they had everything that you could want in the world. And it was a hard place to see the advance of the gospel. But as I would walk and I would pray on this campus, every time I went on these prayer walks, something would happen where I would see God is already at work, or God has opened up a door of opportunity for the gospel. God is the one that's doing it. That's the point, friends. You know, we have a preschool and an academy that gets to do an incredible ministry here in our community. It has been for decades a door of opportunity for the advance of the gospel. And you can talk to person after person who, either through the testimony of their children or through what they learned and heard when they were here at chapel or at a program for their children, have come into God's kingdom through this ministry. It is an open door that God has opened up for us where his gospel is advancing. God is already at work. Now, Joshua told these spies to go, and they went, and they were strengthened. They were bolstered in their faith. Jesus says to us, I want you to go. And he doesn't just say go. He says this. I want you to remember this. I will be with you. I will be with you. Like he's in charge. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to him. He says, I will be with you and I want you to go. Look at how much boldness grew in them so that when they returned, they could say to Joshua, God is doing something. Truly, the Lord, they say, has given all the land into our hands. It's done. God's taking care of it. And they say, the inhabitants of the land are melting away because of us. Like, when you understand the power of God that is at work behind the commission of God that he has given us, you'll be bolder and you will keep taking steps of faith. So here's the application for today. Step out in what God wants you to do. Step out in an act of obedience. Share your faith. Show up at this neighborhood picnic. Do this. You know, when Jesus told a parable, this shows the grace of God and the call for discipleship. Jesus told a parable in Matthew 21 about two sons. And he said, you know, the father said to the one son, I want you to go and work in the vineyard today. And the son says, no, I'm not going to do it. But afterwards, the son goes. And then he says in the parable, the father says to the other son the same thing. And he says, yes, sir, I'm going to go. But then he doesn't do it. And then Jesus says, which of the two did the will of the father? And he says, they say to him, the first. And Jesus said to them, listen to this. Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Well, it's responding in faith. It's stepping out in faith. It's God's grace that comes to us and calls us out of the normal pattern of this world. And he says the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom by such faith. And these religious leaders, it says right after the parable that they perceived that Jesus was telling this about them. Like, oh, we're on to you, Jesus. But they didn't do anything about it. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes took stock. And they said, you know what? There is a kingdom of heaven and we're going to be welcomed in it. So we're going to turn away from the things of this world and our sin and we're going to trust in him. But friends, there are tasks to be done, which God wants us to do. He opens up doors for us. Sometimes they look daunting. Sometimes they look unlikely to be successful unless God makes a way. But when we take these steps of faith, God will strengthen us and he will be with us as we go. And as a church where God has opened up opportunities for us, we need to be a church that is carrying out the commission which he has entrusted to us. So let's take these steps of faith and let's see the things that God will do and is already doing. Let's pray.